I'd like to call the June 18th board meeting and Madison Plains Board of Education to order. Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt.
Here.
Mr. Morlock.
Present.
Mr. Swanger.
Here.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Present.
Mr. Hunter.
Here.
Mr. Hall's present.
Please stand to the pledge. Mr. Fanning, would you lead us?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving into the board work session, I don't know if anyone has anything tonight, but I do want to announce Mr. Hall informed me that three people have voiced an interest in my vacant position. So it'll be up to you guys how you want to handle that as far as setting interviews up, or if you want to talk with those folks first. So.
What is the board's view?
Well, we need to talk to them all. We can set something up.
Next week,
yeah.
Yes. You just can't name someone for 10 days.
Yeah, right. But we can interview.
Yeah,
right.
You can interview.
25th, Tuesday. Is that enough time to get a hold of them?
I can't do anything until after the 28th. Either.
I want to hit July 1st.
Anytime after the 28th, I'm good. Could you mind for it?
Okay, let's have a special meeting then for interviews.
July 1.
What night is that?
Monday.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Here.
Probably administrative building, I think, because it'll be just doing the interviews. So it'll all be executive session.
Okay, board time.
Yeah, that's definitely more intimidating over there.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock works for me. Does that work for you, Don?
How much time are we going to give them? If there's three of them, you start at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 7, 7:30, 8.
I was thinking 7, 7:30, 8. It shouldn't take more than a half an hour, I don't think.
Yeah. Do you still have on record, Tim? We did this not too long. Well, it's been a while back. I mean, do you have anything on record of a format or questions, or did we?
There was nothing in my office.
Okay. Okay.
Office.
We'll just come up with our own then.
I think it'd be best.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As school boards may ask some standard questions, but.
Yeah, they do too.
You want me to seek those out?
Yes. Yeah, we'll go July 1st at 7 o'clock at the board office.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, do you have the names? You said there was three people
that's contacted us, Tim Phillips.
Mike Dodd. Kelly Cooley.
Kelly Cooley and Rick Blosser. Mike Doss hadn't. I've only got a verbal from Tim Phillips, so I asked him to send me an email.
If I actually mailed that mine to you, then I sent one to
Miller. I didn't get yours.
I didn't get your email until Sunday. I mailed it out.
Okay, that box is listening. That's good.
Kelly Cooley.
So you want to space half hour, right?
Yeah. Do this now?
I'll never do it.
Right. I got one thing, Mr. President. This should take not too much time. We've got something for you, sir. Can you stand up, please? We want to recognize you and your service to the board. So we've got a plaque together, a Distinguished Service Award presented to Mike Brandt in recognition of your many years of dedicated service to Madison Plains School District on this day, June 18th, 2013.
Thank you very much.
So, no, thank you for all your service.
I want to thank everyone and thank the Madison Plains community for supporting me and allowing me to stay on the board since 2004. And I just hope that this board, the administration, and the community can continue down the path with our 10-year plan. And Madison Plains can have a really bright future if we get everybody on board and get the community behind us. So thank you very much.
Mike, on behalf of the administration, teachers, teaching staff, and students, we certainly want to thank you. We will miss your input, especially when it comes to insurance. We will let you do a fourth day that we rely on you a lot to do some scoop on that stuff.
Thanks.
Mike, we'll miss you. Thanks for everything you've done.
I'll still be around.
Anyone else have anything for the work session?
Okay, I've got a couple items. Talked at the last meeting about putting on a resolution in support of public education and definitely being opposed to public monies going into private hands for education. So I've got a copy of the resolution. And actually, you guys got them. If you'll send those down and send those around to the board members. And copies for the press.
Oh, thanks.
And I have a few extras. Please share. I could borrow one. What I'd like to do is read this. We will, if there's no objections, I will add this to the agenda towards the end of the meeting. But the resolution says, whereas, always starts with whereas, Governor Kasich's biennial budget, House Bill 59, proposes to expand the EdChoice Scholarship Program through two new options that will significantly increase the number of public-funded vouchers for students to attend private or parochial schools. And whereas, one of the programs provides private or parochial school tuition vouchers to any attending kindergarten student of a family with a household income less than 200% of the federal poverty level to be used at the parent's choice of participating private or parochial school. And whereas the following year, such vouchers would be expanded to include students in both kindergarten and first grade totaling $25 million over the biennium. And whereas such vouchers would be granted without regard to the academic performance or quality of the public school that the student is assigned to attend. And whereas a second voucher expansion proposed by the governor in House Bill 59 expands eligibility for the EdChoice voucher program to K through grade 3 students enrolled in buildings that received a D or F in the new K-3 literacy component of the new report card in two of the three most recent report cards. And whereas the operation of the proposed programs would effectively reduce funds from the already financially beleaguered local public school districts, resulting in fewer resources for the education of remaining students, Now therefore be it, and it is hereby resolved, that the Madison Plains Local Board of Education does hereby express its opposition to these provisions in House Bill 59, and be it further resolved that the Madison Plains Local Board of Education expresses its opposition to any legislation that seeks to transfer public dollars to support private education, and be it further resolved that the treasurer be directed to spread this resolution upon the minutes of the Board of Education, and that copies of the resolution be forwarded to the governor and members of the Ohio General Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're apparently trying to get, it's a money grab. People have seen the money that goes to education, and while we feel it isn't enough, there's a lot of people out there that'd like to get their hands on some of it, and this is a way to do it. If you want to get elected to office, you can hold any office in this country that you want to if you got enough money. And if you got enough friends that'll donate it to you, and you got enough jobs available, or you can fix them up in some way that they can pull money, you'll keep getting those dollars so that you can get more votes. And that's exactly what this whole thing is. It's all about taking public money, putting it into private hands. And as far as what that will do to education, every time you take a dollar out of the fund to education, you take another kid and put that kid behind the eight ball. Because if we do not educate our kids through public education, any kid that leaves that system and takes the money with him is putting other kids who cannot get out of that system in jeopardy. And we can't afford to do that. In this country, education is the one key to freedom and advancement. Nothing else will get this country or anybody in it out of poverty. And we need the education of our young people to make sure that that doesn't happen, to make sure that they have the options and the choices to be able to go on and live their own productive lives. So if you have the opportunity and you have pen and paper ready, write your congressman and tell them that we need to keep these funds in public education, and that if you want to help out, pass legislation that enables our people to do a better job. I'm not asking the legislature to throw money at education. I'm asking them to invest. And that doesn't go to private hands. While we're on the topic of the value of education, I've got an $18 million picture here that I'll pass around and you can take a look at. This really doesn't mean anything probably to anybody here, but I'll tell you a little bit of story about the picture. You keep writing, Mr. Hall. I'll let Mr. Detweiler look at that. That is a picture. When it comes around, you'll see that about 10 of those kids have pretty green shirts on. They're not Madison Plains green shirts. They're Project Search green shirts. Project Search is a program that we started about 3 years ago at Tolles. There used to be a program in Madison County that has gone by the wayside, which is rather unfortunate. But the reason I call that an $8 million picture is because this year, those 10 kids all graduated out of that program. Requirements to get in, first of all, every single one of these kids has either some type of disability or handicap that makes it difficult for them to learn. These kids usually end up as wards of the state, and we end up spending thousands and thousands of dollars in order to keep them for the rest of their lives after they graduate from school. Right now we're keeping them while they're in school. In order to qualify for this program, those kids have to forego education. All of these kids were ready for graduation last year. They were certified, ready to go, but in order to be in this program, I'd like to say, I don't want to graduate. I want to get in this program. And what the program does, there's a cooperation between Toll's Career Technical Center, Dublin Methodist Hospital, and I'll probably get this wrong, but I know the Department of Ohio Department of Rehabilitation, I know, is in there somewhere, plus several other organizations having to do with disabilities. But essentially what they do is if these kids have a problem, they can't get to work or they can't drive, somebody comes in and makes sure that they have a way to get to school. If they've got, you know, any other financial problems, something is usually worked out. But this is the first time that we have really put something together here that's not just school, but brings in the whole plethora of organizations that we have, and they're cooperating. The program is a little bit expensive. I think we spend somewhere in the neighborhood of around $6,000 per pupil to educate our students. This program is probably closer to $10,000, maybe even a little bit more. So the cost of this program for all of the people involved and all of the money that comes into the program is about $100,000, give or take. And the reason I say that is because these kids now, and secondly, every single one of them is, as of right now, is employed. They're either working at Dublin Methodist or, in most cases, some other hospital in the area, but they are already employed. These are not menial jobs. These kids work in, I call it sanitation. Essentially, they line up instruments for the operating room and run them through an autoclave so that they're sterile when you get there. They work in maintenance, and I don't mean they're custodial. A lot of the maintenance jobs are not, they don't necessarily fix broken equipment, but they do maintain a lot of the equipment that's there. Something that has a procedure to it that you go through pretty much the same steps each time when you work on that. And they're trained in order to do that. Some of them work in food processing. Some of them work in, I'll think of it, linens, washing clothes.
Laundry.
Laundry, thank you. There we go. I knew there was a word. But anyway, these jobs pay anywhere from $14.15 up to $19-$20 an hour. These kids are full-time employed. These kids will make between $28,000 and $40,000 a year. Expand that for 30 years, and you have these 10 kids that we've spent less than $200,000 on are going to bring into the economy over $8 million over the next few years, or over the next 30 years. The cost of making sure they get to work and that is minimal compared to what they're putting back into the system. And we're not taking out $20,000 a year per individual over the next 30 years in order to keep them going. If that's not a good return on a dollar for education, I don't know what is. And I think we do maybe not as well return on everything else, but I think if you check, I think if you took the numbers of the kids that we train here at Madison Plains and across this country and multiplied it by the amount of money that they would make because of that education, our legislators would realize that we've got a pretty good investment here and we do have a pretty good record of educating our kids. I realize that all of them don't jump right in and get the best education they can, but we keep working on that horse and we about got him to the trough. Now, if we can just make him drink, we'll be okay. But anyway, that's the story on that picture. The other thing that I have, I just forgot. Oh, there's another, I'm not sure what bill number is. There's another bill out there. Mr. Kasich would like to see career and technical centers controlled by somebody other than local people. He wants to put in appointed board members for career and technical schools, which is going to take local control away from the local people who incidentally fund those things. I know there was a lot of talk out there about increased funds going to career and technical centers. We got our letter from the state and told career and technical centers in the same place that Madison Plains is in. Congratulations, you ain't getting any more money than you got last year. On a percentage basis, we don't get very much of our funding at tolls from the state budget. Better than 80% of our budget up there is funded by something other than state funding. So we've got a lot of local investment in that career and tech center, and as our sister school here at Madison Plains, we need to keep that control local, and we need to keep a group of people up there that the board and the school has a responsibility to, and not put people in from someplace else in the state who happens to be a good friend of the governor. Anyway, if you have the opportunity again, please write your congressman and tell them that you would like to see the representation of board members on career and technical centers remain as it is, with school board members coming from local boards of education. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Does anyone else have anything for the work session? Moving on to public communication, I know there are two people that have signed up to speak to the board tonight. Please, when I call your name, stand up, give your name, address, and go. The first one is Peg Johnson.
Won't be the same address very long.
No, that's true.
Well, I'm here on behalf of the Madison Plains Educator Incentive Grant Program. I'd like to know from the board, when is your last board meeting of the year?
Fiscal year or calendar year?
No, anytime. Do you have a board meeting in December?
Yes.
When in December?
Should be third
Tuesday. We usually meet on the third Tuesday. This one will be the 17th of December.
Okay. It is my understanding that when this money is funded to you from the Columbus Foundation, that you have to approve it, and that usually is not done until January. I would like that moved back to December so the teachers can get that grant money in January rather than February. I don't want to move the applications for the grants up any sooner, and we have to give the nominations to the Columbus Foundation in the early part of December, so I don't know why we can't give you that same information, and you could approve that in December rather than waiting until January to do that.
We should be able to.
Okay. I also wanted to inform you that I usually give out $1,500 a year. We're going to increase that to $2,500 a year next year so that more teachers will be able to receive grants. It's probably coming at a good time because I don't foresee any levies passing for a while around here. And so you're going to need the money. I didn't have any trouble changing that. It's going to take out of the fund. So the fund will decrease, but that's okay. It'll last for a few years anyway. Now, we have had a couple problems this last year with it. I have a teacher that complained that they had trouble getting a purchase order to get her stuff. And I don't understand why these teachers that apply for this are having trouble getting purchase orders.
Without knowing the particular details about it, I really can't address your question.
Well, I don't know what teacher. I was just told that in a report that they reported back to the girl that supervises me, said that she had trouble getting a purchase order. And then the second one was the teacher that you awarded the fund to. And then when we found that out and we came to you and said that fund needed to be given to another teacher, you said it's in the general fund, and she said you were giving her problems about getting that fund to another teacher. Now,
there was no, I know what you're talking about now. There was a, if I recall, there was an increase given to her, and we had spent the money somewhere else. She had, the other teacher spent the money somewhere else, and we had to reallocate it. There were, in the end, it all worked out as far as,
yeah,
did she call
out.
You back and let you know that everything worked out okay in the end?
Yeah, it worked out all right,
okay.
But
we had to get the accounting
the
straight.
The Columbus Foundation, I called up the Columbus Foundation, and I said, okay, can you guys award rather than going through this process? And they said, no, it has to come through the school board, and it's supposed to be done in such a way that if the teacher does not receive that grant money, the grant money has to be sent back to the Columbus Foundation.
Absolutely.
And then they'll award it to the whoever else is
right, and that's
giving it.
That's where the issue came up, is we have to document and make sure we have that accounted for correctly. In the event that they don't spend it, we can send it back. So that's where there was a little bit of a delay on that part, because it wasn't just a here's your money, go spend it. There was an issue there. I'll be quite honest, I can't remember all the details about it, but there was something about she was given more money or something along the way and hadn't spent it, or somebody else had. And you're kind of catching me off guard. I'd have to look at the documentation on that. But I know in the end, we got it accounted for correctly, and she
yeah,
was able to spend
it. Mrs. Schoke got an award, but it was too late for her to do
right
what she was going to do with it.
Right.
Okay.
But it's a matter of exactly what you just said. If they don't spend the money, then I have to send it back to the foundation.
Right.
So I have to track and account for it properly. So sometimes that might delay things in regards to them getting their money.
Okay.
If there's an issue with, you know, increases and decreases and that type of thing.
Okay.
So.
Well, with the $2,500, and if we can arrange that so that the teachers can get that award in January rather than late January, when they usually getting it, that will, I think, help out quite a bit.
Well, we certainly give them notice that they've received the award. I think you sent a letter to them as well.
The person that supervises this for me does.
Right. It's a matter of if we get it, if the board approves it in December and we actually get the funds at that time, then we can post those monies to their account and they can start spending. But they still have to put in the purchase order to spend those funds.
Yeah. Well, we'll try to speed up our end, you know, so that will happen. We just,
and we're
just getting
to
aware
things
of all this year particularly. But anyway, I, as you know, I'm moving to Colorado, so but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to keep in touch with this fund. I want to make sure. Okay, that's settled. I only have two more things to say. One thing, about three things. One thing that has disturbed me, I worked in this district for 20 years, and I've always had a lot of pride for this school district. But when I hear people in the community saying they're doing everything they can to get out of this district, I'm wondering what is the problem. You know, they can't send their kid to Westfall because they're not taking kids. Now they're talking about moving to Miami Trace District so they can have their children in there. So why are people moving out? The second thing is, I went to the retired teachers meeting, and I don't like teachers who have worked in this district for 30 to 35 years not receiving a letter of thanks from the school for their service. And I don't know why that. Some of them told me they didn't get their letter till January or the following year after they retired. So why is the problem that we can't
Peggy,
at least
can
thank
I,
our teachers?
Can I address that? We usually honor our teachers in September every year. If we overlooked it, then we try to catch up. But we make that a habit. It's on our agenda. We honor our teachers in September every year. As a retired person, we send out, Mr. Hall sends a letter and invites them to that meeting in September.
Okay. Well, I know some of them said they hadn't received anything from you.
There was one year.
January.
There was one year that we delayed. We missed it, okay? And that's when we decided to make it always in September.
Yeah.
So there was one year that we missed it, but every September we honor previous retirees.
Okay.
A lot of them don't come in get it. I mean, I still have a few in the box.
Why do they have to come in and get it?
We give them a plaque.
They
Oh.
We give them a clock, and they can come in and pick it up at the meeting. That's when we like to honor them.
None of them said anything about that. So I don't know whether very many of them.
Yeah, we.
I will address that, because I don't know when I'll go to the next retired teachers meeting either. And then the third thing, and Mr. Hall knows that I have a not good feeling with him. I only have one question to ask you, Mr. Hall. You say that in this district, that you love this district and you're doing everything for it. But my question to you is, when you got your 3.5% raise, why didn't you tell this board that you would accept just what everybody else gets, 1.5%, because you certainly don't need the money? That's all I have to say.
Can I address the financial piece on that?
Yes.
The teachers and employees received 1.25% on their base, but the average teacher increase in steps was 2.14%. So they actually got 3.3% was the average teacher increase this past year, and that was the average.
Okay.
So that, there's one, you got one piece of information, that was the base increase, but the step, you have to add that in as well. So taking that into account, we were at 3.35. Mr. Hall and myself received 3% base increase.
Okay, well, they're sitting out there saying, okay,
of course,
this is what we got, and
yeah.
You know, financially, I think we're going to be in problem here in another few years, you know, it just.
Anyway. Another piece, I'm glad you bring that up. I'd be happy to share with them both that information I just gave you, as well as our 10-year financial plan that shows exactly when we will be in trouble and why. And I think people need to understand that. If you want to point fingers at water bottles and superintendents, you've got to look at the true cost of running the district and where the detail is. And that's what we do when we do the 10-year plan. We actually had that meeting with the board last week and went through it in detail with them and made plans for, you know, we're talking 5 and 6 years out that we need to have a plan in place now to deal with that deficit that's out there. And most school districts are 1 and 2 years away from being in trouble, and we're 5 and 6 years.
Good.
So
that means you're handling the money well.
I think so, and good decisions by Mr. Hall and operating the district have been made, so that's helped us a lot.
And that's why we're trying to look 10 years ahead, so that we can react now instead of being put down the road and end up having to come out to the public and say, hey, folks, now we're going to have to pass a 12-mill levy to stay afloat. And if people, there's a lot of it, we heard at the last meeting that we weren't communicating like we should have. I really would like, or I'm sure the board also would like some help as to where we could communicate better, because we are trying to do a lot better with a communication person. But it's also the responsibility of the people in this district to want to be informed. And I think that's, if you want to save your district and not have our district split down 5 different ways in the next 8 years, now's the time to start looking at it. Don't wait for 6 more years.
Well, communication is always the problem in every organization.
Right, right. But the thing is, Peg, and you know this too, you have to have people, you can communicate all you want to, but you have to have people that want to be communicated to.
Oh, I know.
So
and I know you have a problem.
Yeah.
In the town, so.
But
I
thank
don't know
you.
How you address that either.
I don't either. I don't think anyone here has got that answer.
Oh. I know what the answer was, but the town did not do that, so
they don't want to hear.
And they're suffering right now. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Peg.
Mike,
thank you.
If I could make one other comment.
Go ahead.
This is what we received at the last meeting. This was our forecast scenarios, projected ending balances. And when I look at this thing, the projected ending balance would have been in 2022, $23.3 million. Now, that's down from what it was when we started the 10-year plan, correct?
Absolutely.
Do you remember what that number was?
That $23 million, that was the February number.
Right.
2012.
Okay.
And then we moved it down to about $10 million.
Well, that's where you are as
right.
of now. But
right.
when we started this over 3 years ago, that number was higher, the projected number was higher than $23 million.
The actual 10-year plan, you're correct, Don, the the 10-year plan that we formally adopted in 12, we were looking at that $23 million.
Okay.
Prior to that, we didn't.
Anyway, well, my point here is, and this is something that we have to consider as a school board, when you hire superintendents and treasurers, which is the only two people that this board hires, you do have to look at a cost for that. And my experience has been, after having done this several times, is you really got to be careful, because there's some really good talkers out there. And if you don't believe me, just kind of look back at the history of Madison Plains and some of the superintendents and treasurers that we've had here, and some of them obviously talked very well, but the job that they did left a little bit to be desired. And I guess my point on this is, we're looking at this thing in 2012 with a $23.3 million deficit. Now, we're not there yet. We're still looking at $11 million. Well, let's see, the worst case scenario, yeah, is 11.6. That in our plan, based on what we're looking at doing, that's down to 11.1. Now, my arithmetic probably isn't the best, but I know that that is a savings of over $11 million. And you got that savings because we have two people up here that do a fantastic job of managing money in this school district. And talking to people from other boards and seeing what's happened here over the past 40 years since I've been here, we haven't always had people that have saved us $11 million over 20 years. In fact, we've had several people that have put this school district in tremendous financial jeopardy. I know that twice I came onto this school board when it was in financial jeopardy, and twice we pulled it out of the fire. Number one, I hope that does not happen again. And number two, if it does, I think we would probably kiss Madison Plains goodbye, because I don't think we can take another hit like the last two. But this kind of consideration is, when we hire the two people that we hire, we have got to have people who can look at dollars and get the best bang for the buck out of them, because we educate our kids for a lot less than the average state expenditure for student education. And to do that takes a really good staff from the top all the way down to the last person on our payroll. And I think we've done a pretty good job, but leadership is the key. Thank you.
Getting back to the public communication, the next person we have is Paula Mullen. Please stand, state your address.
Yeah, 3320 US Route 42. Am I right to move around?
You can stand at the podium wherever you'd like. Yes.
My name's Paula. I've only been out here for about, we're going on our fifth year. I don't have a lot to say about the money and everything you guys are talking about. I really don't understand a lot. I'm here to talk to you about my daughter, fight for my daughter, and what has happened this year. Back in October, and I really hope you guys don't think this is silly considering everything you guys have talked about, but back in October, I had a heart attack, and then November 6th, I ended up having triple bypass surgery. I'm really bad at public speaking too, I'm sorry.
Just take your time.
Haley's grades started going downhill. She never left my side. The girl slept in my hospital room every night. The nurses would get her up to go to school in the morning. When I was finally released and allowed to go home, it was just her and I. And I would have to sleep in the living room in a recliner, or recline, because it hurt too bad to lay flat. And my daughter slept on the floor every night, right next to me, woke me up 3 times a night to make sure I had my medicine, and sometimes just to make sure I was still breathing. I can't tell you how many more heart attacks she almost gave me, just her staring at me. Haley has never, in her whole school career, ever been in trouble. She's never had a detention, in-school suspension. The type of daughter I have is the kind that called me when she found out that the homecoming party she was going to last year was going to have alcohol. She called and asked me to come and get her. She never even stayed for the whole homecoming dance. I was not notified about my daughter's grades until the last 2 weeks of school, when it was time to try out for cheerleading. My daughter's an avid cheerleader, has been since she was 2 years old. My older two girls were cheerleaders and she was always their mascot. Haley's going into her junior year. They gave her a week to try to bring up everything, and she did what she could, but it still wasn't enough. Mr. Clark did say she could go ahead and try out for JV. He would allow her to do that because of everything that had happened. And she did. She made the JV squad. And I was okay with it at the time, but the more I calmed down and the more I thought about it, I feel my daughter is being punished for taking care of her mother. She's 16 years old. She was dealing with my medications, my hospital runs. I don't know if any of you have ever had been through it. I hope you never have to go through it. And she let her schoolwork slide. I'm not saying it's right. It wasn't right. But on the other hand, I can understand why it happened also. I'm all she has. She doesn't have, of course, she has a father somewhere that, you know, when it's convenient for him, he calls and says hi. This little girl would not leave my side. I have plenty of teachers that have called. I've had parents, everyone telling me I need to come and speak to you guys about this. This is the kind of girl you want representing your school. I understand there's procedures and grade point average and all that, and Haley had all of that until the last 9 weeks of school when I got sick. Haley almost watched me die twice. I collapsed at home one day due to my potassium level. My heart was like an hour away from stopping. And that was another week ICU stay. So it's not as if she was blowing off her schoolwork. She was taking care of me. And I didn't know she was suffering. And then towards the end of the school year, Haley had her own breakdown. She was taken out for herself. It's genetic that runs in our family. I'm the third one in a year and a half. My mother, my father, then me. And then Haley started showing the symptoms. And the last, I believe, 3 weeks of school, she had to go through the stress test, echocardiogram, heart catheterization, all that. All that can be proven. And it just turns out that hers was nothing but complete panic and anxiety. It finally caught up with her. I don't want her punished for taking care of me. I think she deserves a right to cheer. I got a letter after I met with Mason and Hall and Mr. Clark. And I understand, it's, I mean, it's nothing personal. They said now she can't cheer, period. Even though she already made the JV squad when it should be her varsity year. She does have she did have the scores to cheer varsity. Haley is a good kid. And I don't know what I would have done without her. And I understand you guys could do hardship cases or whatever it's called. You know, she doesn't even have to cheer football. Give her the chance to bring all her grades back up at the beginning of her junior year and cheer basketball. Varsity basketball. I just want you guys to know what kind of girl you have in your school. I'm very proud of her, and I think you guys should be too. That's any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
To approval of the board minutes.
I make a motion that the minutes of the May 14th meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Motion by Linda, second by Ken. Discussion.
I note that receipt of Mr. Brandt's resignation letter, the last meeting was added under public communication in the minutes, if you have not seen that.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Swanger.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Detweiler, do you have a treasurer report for us this evening?
I do. You've had your financial reports are all listed. You had my notes. The one thing that is unique is the renewal of the PI levy. That is on for a vote tonight. This is the first vote. This is the board declaring necessary levy renewal tax and requesting the county auditor to certify matters in connection with the proposed tax levy. This is not a replacement. This is a renewal. This is different than what we've had on the last two times. You're simply asking the county auditor to certify it, and I'll take the board of elections and be placed on the ballot if passed. You will continue to receive the same amount of money that you have received. Taxes will not go up if this is passed by the electorate in November. So that will be on for a vote a little bit later. The other items I have attached to the actual action items, and we'll talk about those when we get to those. Sure. Okay.
Okay. I have a motion for item one. I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve a resolution declaring it necessary to levy a renewal tax and requesting the county auditor to certify matters in connection with a proposed tax levy as presented.
I'll second that.
Motion by myself, seconded by Don. Discussion.
Well, we've pretty much already talked this over, right? And we've got to have the money just to maintain the programs that we're running now, and I'm going to leave out a school bus, I know for sure, but this seems to be the route that we decided to go, even though it does bring additional funds, it at least will keep us going. It still means that cuts will be made in either services or programs.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Swanger.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item two.
Make a motion upon recommendation of the treasurer that May 23rd financial statements be accepted as presented.
Second.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Ken. Discussion.
I have a couple questions, Tim. Okay. Going through the go back up here. The financial summary. I noticed we had several funds in the red. I'm assuming that's going to clear up after June 30th.
It will clear up before June 30th. Several of those. One is athletics, but athletics has money pending.
Okay.
And actually, we've received monies already. That are June postings, since you're seeing May,
you
haven't seen that yet.
So will it be out of the red altogether?
Yes. Yeah.
Junior high and high school?
Correct.
Okay.
And then you also have most of your federal programs at the end of May are showing a deficit.
Right.
And that's because I can only draw money down once we've spent it. So you're going to always constantly be catching up the deficit. And truly, federal programs are a little bit unique. You want to spend that money. So you're always showing a deficit. Now, some people ask for a transfer in June to cover that just for the year end. I prefer to say, okay, I've done the drawdowns in June to cover that. You're seeing a deficit at the end of June, but the money will be here July. But that's just the nature of that beast.
Okay. So after the next report should be a lot cleaner as far
Absolutely.
As no red balances.
Correct. And one of the things you'll be voting on here in a moment is transfers. And
right.
Just one.
There was just one this time.
Right.
I seen that. Yeah.
Right. That's one that, unless you do that, it won't clean
right.
itself up. We
right.
have to move money
yeah.
to it.
That high school uniform, is that the school fees? Is that where the school workbooks and fees come from? I think you told me that
uniform
once before.
School supplies, correct.
Yeah. So do you think that's going to come out any better since?
Yes.
No, you're shaking your head no.
Well,
I know that's...
Here's why I say yes and you say it no. Chris and I have to sit down and there's been some charges that go against that account that really should have been going against general fund all along.
Okay.
And we need to correct those.
Okay.
Okay. Once we do that, his balance will look a lot better. The other problem with that, that's simply the biggest problem with uniform school supplies. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
We need to make sure also that what we're charging, we're actually spending.
Right.
And not spending more than what we're bringing in.
Yeah, okay.
And that's.
And then also by putting this in as far as the motion that's mentioned, I think later on, I think it's a motion or a policy. No, it's a policy in the student handbook once that's passed. That will hopefully help clean that deficit up over the next few years.
Your school fees.
On your school fees, yes.
It gives target times when people have to pay them.
Right, have to pay them. That's all I had.
Let's call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item three.
I move upon recommendation of the treasurer that the board approve the final fiscal year 13 permanent appropriations as presented.
I'll second. Motion by Don, seconded by myself. Discussion?
These are the permanents. They're relatively the same as what you adopted as the temporaries. They actually went down a little bit, which is what you want to see this time of year. If not, that means that we didn't do a good job of estimating what our expenses were going to be. We are in good shape as far as being on target with what we have in our spending plan. So you're basically just, I don't want to say rubber stamp, that doesn't sound good, but
right.
It's basically the same appropriations you had approved as the temporaries for this year.
Please call the roll.
I apologize. Who was the second?
It was myself.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item four.
Okay. Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the treasurer that the board approve the fiscal year 14 temporary appropriation resolution as presented.
I'll second that.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion?
These are your temporaries for next year. They are set at 35% of what we appropriated this year. And when we get into July and August and we finalize our budget, we'll have you adopt the permanent. We have until September to do that, but we generally do that July or August.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item five.
Yeah, I move upon recommendation of the treasurer that the board approve transfers as presented. All one of them.
I'll second. Motion by Don, seconded by myself. Discussion?
The only discussion I have for this one is we had to do this last year as well. And are we having a deficit because we're testing more kids randomly? Or
if you recall, when we established this program, we said that the board would always have to help fund this. And this is your funding of this. Every year you're going to be around this amount every single year. So you'll see this time of year. And that was part of the establishment of our drug testing program, is the board would have to contribute.
And I thought that the board contribution was just based on the random tests that are done throughout the year that the board would have to pay for.
This is the balance that's left after the kids have paid for their share.
And the random,
that's my understanding.
And the random tests that are done.
This probably is the cost of the random test. It's probably what this number is.
Because they don't pay for the random test.
That's correct.
Which
the student athlete or the students pay for the baseline test. And the board covers the randoms. And that's probably the cost of the randoms.
Okay, so when I was looking at some of the stuff in here, where did it go? There it is. That we actually had some money come in, all right, that was fine. That was the money that came in was from the students for their tests, is that right?
$17.
Okay. Okay, so then the expenditures would be the cost to us. That's almost twice what it was when the students came in. I didn't think that we were testing 200% of the students for the random test. I thought there was a particular percentage that we were.
We test 50 a month random. I can tell you that. Mr. Clark handles the numbers on it.
Okay.
Just what's the random is.
Okay.
We can delve more into that if you want, Ken, just
yeah.
to see.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that because I know we were, you know, the initial estimate you know, the rough estimate was going to be about 600 students were going to be taking part, and we were looking at 20 or 30% that we were going to be testing. And it ended up, you know, I was being generous when I was thinking, okay, we're going to have 300 random tests that are going to be done throughout the year, and it was going to be way less than the, you know, $4,400. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know, where's that? You know, didn't quite know the numbers behind it all.
We'll get with Chris on that, because he does keep a, he does, he documents all that, and then I get the results, so we'll get with him.
This is pretty close to the amount of money that I discussed from the testing place when they brought it in. Matter of fact, at one point, did bring up the fact that it would top out at no more than $5,600. Is that right, Matt?
No, that's right. And the cost has stayed the same. They've never raised the price on us in the, I think, 2 or 3 years we've been doing it. It's, they've kept it at $17 since, and they said they'd keep it that way as long as we stayed with them.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Swanberg.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Moorlach.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Hall, do you have a superintendent report for us this evening?
I don't have anything other than make you aware of things that's in your packet or in your board docs. We had a brief discussion on schedules. Ken had a couple questions on schedules the last time we met. The principals are here. If you want to ask any questions pertaining to those schedules or whatever building for the next school year, then they'll let me know. The other items in there are just information items.
I don't see Mr. Clark.
He's at Marshall University. He took Morgan to Marshall for orientation.
Well, isn't he lucky?
With an abscess tooth.
With an abscess tooth.
Uh-oh.
Ken's not here.
Do you want to go through the new business and ask him as we get to him? Or how do you do it?
Well, I would just, the one schedule issue that I think I saw was for the intermediate building. And I can't. I think it was regarding the lunches.
Every 15 minutes.
Hmm?
Every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you only have 15 minutes to eat. It means there'll be a half hour block. And they, when they're finished eating, then the ones can go finish up at recess, or they can stay in and eat the duration of the recess, if I understand.
They usually finish eating in about 15, 20 minutes, and then they sit there for 10 minutes and get themselves into trouble.
Yeah, well, because
so
I saw a big overlap in...
Yeah, it's every 15 minutes bringing in a new group.
It's a new group every 15 minutes,
yeah.
Is the clarification. So right now, you bring in like two grade levels every half hour, but the line would run faster if you brought one grade level every 15 minutes.
So while the one grade is in line getting their stuff, that's when the other grade is getting kind of pushed out, making room for
well, they
for
can stay
group.
And finish for their 30 minutes. But
they're going in, they're
done
eating.
To go out.
It just keeps the line flowing.
Keeps it moving, okay.
And kids standing in line have been on the line.
Because I've heard that there's been issues of, you know, a lot of noise or a lot of crowding and a lot of all that stuff. And I was just, you know, is that overlap that's going on a part of that, or is it?
The overlap wouldn't be part of it because we haven't done the 15-minute rotation yet.
Okay. So this is going to be something to try to help develop that. Okay. Okay.
Anytime you put 125 students in a room, you don't have noise, no excess noise. So.
They don't have to blow off a whole lot of steam any other time.
It's their social hour.
There was... nothing else. I thought there was, but as I'm looking at it, I don't see anything else.
Anyone else for Mr. Hall?
Well, I've got one question. The school day is longer, and kids are going to get an additional at least 30 minutes a day instruction. What does that consist of? Is that intervention? Is that more time in a regular classroom? Or, I mean, how do we work this? Obviously, there's more than one teacher or person involved here in order to get beyond?
It's a combination of all of them.
Okay. And what are we giving?
Really
to
looking
at
block scheduling to make these blocks come out and the intervention be schedules work out, Kim, you can jump in or...
Yeah, I'll give an example. If you look at the junior high schedule, we have a time, you'll notice it says SOAR on there. And that's something that came out of our building leadership teams. It stands for, we're going to spread it beyond just students, but for that, it's students owning their academic responsibility. One of the big pieces that we need to do, and it actually stands for stakeholders. So we're going to engage parents or whatnot. It's a no new instruction time, but we're really going to use the data to drive what do these kids need. And it's not just intervention in the sense of this kid doesn't get it intervention. It's taking every kid wherever their needs are and giving them 30 minutes of a no new instruction, but taking them at their level.
Okay.
That sometimes you just can't do when you have that longer period. And some days they may need more in language arts. Some days they may need more than math. That's going to be some of those common assessments on the junior high level that we're looking at to kind of dictate. And you'll notice, like, on that schedule, every teacher, how many SOAR periods we have happening all at the same time. And that's to keep those numbers smaller, too.
Oh, that's what the SOAR is. Okay.
That's what the SOAR is, right.
Okay. So they're getting that, and that gives the teachers the opportunity to customize
exactly
to the kids.
Exactly. Good. And it should, because of the number of slots that we have, the numbers are going to decrease in those settings, too. So the kids are going to get more attention, which is what they need, that
right.
Sometimes you can't do in a bigger class.
Okay. Yeah, that's excellent. I think that's great. I think this is something that we need to be doing to bring these, to bring all of them up and guarantee that average yearly progress.
The other
remember,
thing...
It's not just a student that maybe is having difficulty. It's kids that need to go to that next level that's advanced.
You're gifted.
To keep moving them also.
The other thing the extra time allows us to do, especially at the junior high level, is extend those periods. So right now our kids have only been getting about 42 minutes of math every day, and you'll notice that they're getting more like 75 minutes of math.
Okay.
They're between 75 and 80 minutes.
And the same with language
ELA
arts.
And math.
Good.
So we're expanding those by about 30 minutes. And having that extra few minutes in the day allows that to happen.
Okay, good.
Anything else, Mr. Hall?
Nope.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to new business. I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the following board policies.
I'll second that.
Motion by myself, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item two.
I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the student parent handbook as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Linda, second by Kim. Discussion?
Is with the attachments that are there, is it just, that's the same thing?
Is that what you wanted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And the two of them that are on there, they're both the same thing. I looked at one and it was what I wanted. I saw that it was the same size and same title. I did it.
In the student handbook?
Yeah.
In regards to?
Well, on the attachments that are there, there are two attachments, both of them with a student handbook for the next year. I looked at one that had the changes that I liked to see, made it easy to understand where the changes were and whatnot. But there was just two attachments.
I think it's just on there twice.
That's what I was kind of... page 7 of 15 on the agenda. Because when I was in board docs, there were two attachments. Not on the handbook, but...
No, it's just in there twice. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I just, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I didn't have to read a different one. This is the final... one to come to the board. All the principals and everybody else had a hand in it. We won't have any changes.
That's where it came from.
Okay.
So this is the first reading. If there's any changes, and certainly we'll try to point those out for second reading in July. Then we should be good with it.
Okay.
So if you come across something, or give me a call. We can so note it.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item three.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2013-2014 school year.
Yes.
Okay. Valerie Bigum, teacher mentor, and Shannon Christian, outdoor education trip advisor.
Second.
Motion by Linda, second by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item four.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2013-2014 school year listed below. There's a lot.
I'll second. Motion by Ken, second by myself. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item five.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2013-2014 school year. Those would both be for Toby Briggs.
I'll second.
Second.
Motion by Ken, second by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Abstain.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item six.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2013-14 school year, as listed.
I'll second. Motion by Don, second by myself. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item seven.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Jake Daniels, intervention teacher, effective June 14th, 2013. Mr. Daniels served Madison Lakes District for 5 years.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Linda, second by Ken. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item eight.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Amy Henry, business management teacher, effective June 18th, 2013. Mrs. Henry has served the Madison Plains District for 6 years. And I would also say that Mrs. Henry started our first computer science program, and that program has advanced tremendously since she started, and I think we're in really good shape with that program now. So our thanks to Mrs. Henry for getting started.
I'll second. Motion by Don, second by myself. Other discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item nine.
Make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the Madison County London City Health District school nurse contract and supplemental hours contract for the 2013-2014 school year as presented.
Second.
Second.
Motion by Linda, second by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item 10.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board authorize travel of FFA member to Washington, D.C. for the Washington Leadership Conference to expand student knowledge about world agriculture and how their community fits into it. All travel expenses will be paid through student payments and the FFA account. This trip will take place July 15th, 2013 through July 21st, 2013. There are no financial obligations to the board.
I'll second that.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board authorize travel of FFA members to Louisville, Kentucky for the FFA National Convention to allow students to gain firsthand knowledge about agriculture from industry leaders. All travel expenses will be paid through student payments and the FFA account. The trip will take place October 24th, 2013 through October 27th, 2014. There are no financial obligations to the board.
And I'll second that one as well.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations. Be $17 from Jenny Wethington to Outdoor Ed, $2,250 from Scholastic Boosters to Civics English 1, $380 to First Church of Nazarene Mount Sterling to Outdoor Ed, $164.77 from the class of 2009 to the class of 2015, $25 from Zerdos to Picture Commission, $3,000 from the Athletic Boosters to Athletics, $10 Just Give to Intermediate Principal Account, $298.68 from Kroger to the High School Principal Account, $1,000 Invest to Fight Hunger, High School FFA, $3,885 from Lowe's Charitable to the Golden Eagle Lane Lab.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swank?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Don, would you like to?
Okay, yeah. Under our new category here, I guess that I would move upon recommendation of the entire board that we accept our resolution supporting public funds stay in public education and to approve this resolution and send it on to the appropriate legislator.
Second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Ken. Further discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
At this time, I would like to make a motion to enter into executive session at 8:13 p.m. for the purpose under the following: Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider employment of a public employee, and under Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal or state statutes.
Second. I'll second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Ken. Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
There will be no action at all taken after this meeting. I guess the next meeting is
July 1st.
July 1st. Yeah.